You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050, an iHeart radio station. The NBA champion Raptors live here. It's Mail It In Friday.
The plant called and said if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
So we got a big afternoon plan. We got Dave Poulin in here. It's always great to see Pooley. And I guess the All-Star Weekend is officially upon us. Very exciting stuff. Everyone's so jacked up. And you got me thinking before we came on here. Actually, Mike Lane got both of us talking because the Maple Leafs return on Monday night in Nashville. And when they start, when that puck drops, it's time to send it. Like, you got 33 games to make up a lot of room here, and to put yourself in a playoff position. And I wasn't even entertaining this idea. It didn't even pop into my mind. And Lane proposed it as if it was just a matter of fact that Michael Hutchinson will start Monday night because Freddie Anderson is at the All-Star Weekend. He's not getting a break. He's doing the side-to-side thing tonight and tomorrow, three-on-three. I had not even entertained the idea that the backup, who nobody has any faith in, may start this 33-game run on Monday night in Nashville.
I have not entertained that, and I will not entertain that. That can't be the case. When you say you got to send it and go on a heater, no.
So Freddie won't skate on Sunday with them. They can practice Sunday. Am I correct about that?
Yes, I believe they will be practicing in Nashville on Sunday.
Okay, so they'll practice Sunday. He'll be zipping in from St. Louis Sunday morning. Probably won't practice with the team, I wouldn't think.
I think he's
got to play. The
All-Stars
normally don't practice.
He has to play.
I think he's got to play, but I hadn't even thought of the idea that load management because of the All-Star game.
I think Freddie's in Monday night.
I would bet Mike Lane and you a best Portuguese chicken load that we have out front.
Which is causing a commotion. Yeah. Unlike, you would think it's election night. Like tonight, you would think the biggest news story in the history of the world was taking place.
And by the way, I also love it. I've talked about this numerous times. Like the tennis event, they get food just for tennis. But when it comes to radio,
well,
go ahead.
Again, I'll credit our boy Mike Lane, who's a big shooter at SportsCenter and on the TV side. He said, I'm not going to touch it. That's not my food. Because he knows it goes the opposite way. When SportsCenter has something big cooking and one of us even looks over there,
I just grab it. I don't even care.
So they posted a sign about the driving on site, right, on campus, and said, we need a little safer driving. They're going to have to post a sign when Best Portuguese Chicken comes like that about the traffic outside the radio booth.
People are posting up out there. Al's brother's boxing out the grappler. The grappler's trying to get his hands on a piece of chicken. Mullen sneaking around.
It's a pick and roll.
It really is. It's like
it's like the Milwaukee Bucks when they practice their wrestling routine before the game, and Giannis Antetokounmpo just destroys somebody to get to the food.
Man, you say that well.
Well,
isn't it tough though? That is the toughest name. Do you go over the cliff and say it or not?
That was silk.
That was actually very smooth.
That was silk.
But you could say Giannis and everyone would know who you're talking about.
I had to stick with that.
And there's that split second. You're like, am I going for it or not? Because if you start going for it and you chew up that name, then
I
it's
think
a
once
mess.
You get it in repetition, like you had a difficult time saying Adjoa and Seyebois.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, once you say it once, done.
Well, and I used to take a lot of heat for that, like throwing to traffic updates because people would write in and be like, why don't you say the name? Suggesting that it's disrespectful that I don't, or I looked at it the opposite way. I thought it would be disrespectful if I was chopping the name up right all the time. So to just keep it easy and keep it smooth, and sometimes I don't know who's on traffic, you know, someone calls in sick or there's a turnover in the shift or whatever.
Yeah.
Keep it smooth, keep it simple, time now for a traffic update, boom.
I like
and they
that
can
too.
Take it from there.
I like that too. But yeah, as far as the goaltending, not even a question.
I figured not even a question, and I think Freddie has to start on Monday night because Nashville is Toronto West. I mean, they're just as desperate. They got a new coach. They're on the outside looking in. They're trying to make up a lot of ground. But I hadn't even thought about the idea that, like, what if sports science steps in? He's been traveling. He's been in St. Louis. We watched on Friday night during the skills contest. He did this many ups and downs, and on Saturday during the 3-on-3.
Load management.
Load management courtesy of the All-Star game. Like, Noodles is going to join us later. And I saw a clip of Noodles earlier today. It's going to be funny to catch up with him. He is going to sound like Joel Quenneville after a triple overtime.
I heard him. He's fine. He's good.
So, Noodles, my understanding is his stance is he thinks this is great. You and he were talking about
this
earlier.
We debated it on the show on That's Hockey on Wednesday night. And he said that was great. But then I heard him Thursday from the All-Star game, and he picked up half of what I said.
About Freddie Anderson.
About Freddie Anderson. So he still said, from an ego standpoint, this is great. But then he picked up about half of what I said and said, but I understand, from a goalie standpoint, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. It's
brutal
that he's
first
there.
Of all, they sit for the first two-thirds of the All-Star competition. They just sit there on one knee. So it'd be like going in halfway through the third period and having 40 breakaways against you. Rapid fire. Multiple breakaways.
You don't want to embarrass yourself. Like, you've got to try and you've got to stop.
Well,
stop
Jamie
pucks.
Did say, the little bit like don't fully extend. That's the way you do get hurt if you don't fully extend.
Exactly. You've got to be puck committed. So, anyway, I mean, Freddie, I hope Noodles is right in the end and his ego gets boosted because he needs it. His play is not helping. If you look at Freddie Anderson's numbers, they're pretty terrible. And he needs to be a lot better, and we know that. And he's probably going to start 27 of the final 33 games. But I had not even thought of, like, put it this way. If they were in the position we thought they would be or they should be.
Hutchinson would be starting.
Hutchinson starts on Monday night. If they're 10 points into a playoff spot.
If they were in the position we thought they were going to be in, it would be take the one-game suspension for Freddie and don't even worry about it.
Right. And Matthews. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, both
don't even worry about it. Just say you're not showing up.
Because if you're not going to play Freddie anyway on that Monday.
Doesn't matter.
Yep. Take the suspension. You're right.
So when you think about what you just said, if Hutchinson does start on Monday, and Freddie shouldn't have gone to the All-Star game.
That is correct.
But then it gets into he's never been there before. It is a big moment for him.
You want to go. For sure you want to go.
Yeah, I'm not going to pounce on a guy that wants to be at the All-Star game.
No, Patrick Kane put it in real perspective. He said, I want to see how many of these I can play in. This is my ninth.
Yeah.
Well, look at the NBA.
Like, LeBron.
LeBron now, I believe, passed Kobe Bryant last night. Everyone knew he was going to the All-Star game, and he's a captain, and he's going to start in the West. I think that's his 17th All-Star game, and he's showing up for all of them. He's playing in all of them. Like, coming down the stretch in the fourth quarter, he's not got, his street clothes on. Like, you go ahead and take it. He's trying to get in the game and winning MVP if he can.
I think it adds to the sizzle once you're all done, and it just, you add it on.
17-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Big time.
It adds to the sizzle.
Yeah,
you don't
time.
Think about it right now like Ovi's saying, screw that, I'm not going. But Patrick Kane said, I think it's an honor to represent the Hawks and the NHL. So I'm going.
Yeah, I like that.
You know
that.
How many Sids played in?
Not many at all. Four or five? Two.
Two.
Now, some of that because of the Olympics, some of it because of injury.
Mm-hmm. I think a couple times he said no thanks.
Yep. I don't even know if he's there this weekend.
By the way, one was his first
I would assume
year.
He's not.
He's played in two.
Yeah. Yeah, and he is the equivalent of LeBron James. You know, there are totally different stratospheres in terms of, household names in the United States and internationally. But Sid is a legitimate top 10 player all time. He is the face of this generation, and he has made it very clear through his actions, although his PR, I'm sure, has smoothed it over a little bit, but he has no interest
negative.
In going.
It's not even negative. He's just played in two.
Yeah. Well, it is a negative. But
it's not talked about or looked about or
it is in the time. I mean, I've taken runs at that before. Like, now I just don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I really could not care less because the players have told me there's no point in caring about it.
So we've got Jack on today, correct? We've got to ask Jack when did the All-Star game in basketball start getting it right? Was that something new or
as far as I know, Jordan went there all the time. Magic went there all the time. Bird went all.
But all
I don't,
of a sudden,
I don't
it
remember there
like
ever
a
being
major
an issue.
League event.
I think it's probably always been that way. Like, as far as I remember, we'll see what Jack says, but like Pascal Siakam is going, he's a starter, which is a real testament to how he's grown. When you consider he grew up in Cameroon, like 10 years ago, he wasn't even playing basketball. He's got three older brothers that played, and he never really showed any interest whatsoever. Decides to get into it, shows up at a couple of camps, gets spotted by the right people, goes to New Mexico State, gets drafted late first round in what is an all-time great find, and now is a starter in the NBA All-Star Game. And this is a guy who's been injured for a significant portion of the first half of the season. And since coming back from the injury, he's been good. He hasn't been great. His numbers have not been outrageous, which to me actually says more about making it to a finals and winning a championship and what that does for your profile. It's almost as if when the Raptors won their title and Kawhi left, Siakam was already an all-star. Like he was an all-star, and then he got his max deal, and it's like, that guy's an all-star. Like, that's what it does for your profile. If you win a championship and you do it when there's only two teams playing and the whole basketball world is watching you, it does a lot for who you are, your marketability, your brand.
That's why winning's so important. You win championships and everyone's like, oh, I got to get this guy. He's got that championship.
He's a winner.
Yeah, changes everything.
Got to get him in my locker room.
Yeah. Now, this is, you know, it's an artificial accolade, I guess. I mean, but you got voted in. The fans, the media, fellow players. Only 10 of them and 5 in the East, and he's one of them, and he's deserving of it. And before he got injured, he was definitely a top 5 player in the East. He deserves to be there. But he got injured for a while. And again, since he's been back, he hasn't been like all world. And I think it says something about the mark he made a year ago. You win a championship, you take down a dynasty.
A whole different swagger.
Changes everything.
A whole different swagger.
And it probably says something about the organization. You know, how people feel about the Raptors in general. Now all of a sudden they're playing on Christmas Day. They're playing opening night. Like, they're in your face. And for the longest time, when they weren't winning anything, and when they weren't even making the playoffs, of course they're not going to be in
your face.
You got
to get DeMar in the All-Star game somehow, blah, blah, blah. Kyle Lowry.
Backdoor, like, fans, hashtag vote DeMar.
Speaking of the Matthews kind of hand injury, wasn't there a couple years ago where Lowry had a hand injury and he decided to go to L.A.? And did he play?
Yeah, he played in the All-Star game.
He played, and then he teed it up with Steph Curry, and then he couldn't play after.
Yep, he was golfing before, and then
it was essentially just the opposite.
Right.
Exactly the opposite.
Now, the team was well on their way to 50-plus wins in a playoff spot, but basically he said, I'm going and I'm playing and I don't care.
That might have been his first, too.
No, I don't think it was. I think he's been to 4 or 5 now, and that would have been a couple of years ago. So he had been there a couple times. He'd been around the block. He had been on Team USA winning gold medals. Like, he was pretty well established. First round pick and all that. It's not like he needed some sort of push, you know, to prove to himself that he had made it. I think it was just, that's the nature of the All-Star game in the NBA. You know, it's the place to be. You got to be there.
Well, the thing that cracks me up about that is the guys that don't make it go. Like, that's the... So you got all kinds of guys there that didn't make the All-Star game.
I remember when it was in Toronto a couple of years ago, doing a show down at the X, I guess it was, on the Saturday, and like Hall of Famers coming around. Like, Bill Russell was there, George Gervin was there, and a lot of former players, current players.
Probably.
You know, I if I can recall correctly, there was a tag on the end of it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming by. Brought to you by, you know, Nike or whatever. And that there's big money and there's big sponsorship. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, and I guess that's happening in St. Louis. Like, Gretzky's there.
Well, the alums are all there.
The alumni for St. Louis are all there.
How about the year the St. Louis alumni have had? First of all, they all got
I think Chaser's a big part of that, though, because any other team wins the Stanley Cup, whoever runs the alumni there, they're doing a good job of celebrating the alumni, because usually, like, how many alumni did you see in Washington when they won the Stanley Cup?
I'm one.
You weren't around there. But all of a sudden, the alumni
for my ring.
The alumni is at the parade. Like, that's impressive how they say, we're a part of it, we want to be a part of it, and they make them a part of it.
That's a whole different level, though. I've never seen it to that extent. And they're all back. They had a big alumni game last night, I think.
Yeah, they did. I believe Chaser was heavily involved in that. And I don't know if Gretzky was playing in it. Dougie Gilmore's down there. Like, there's a bunch of old school.
Because I saw Red Berenson played in it.
Really?
Who's 80? The Michigan coach.
That's old school.
Probably be pretty good.
Al McInnes is down there. There's a lot of guys. You know, Chris Pronger would be there probably anyway, representing Florida. But you know, he's definitely going to be in St. Louis. I don't know. I had always heard that their alumni association.
Yeah, and Chaser's a big part of it. Like, he arranges all that. He cares about it. And
right.
But the Flyers have a really strong alumni association too. But
so do the Leafs.
We didn't get rings in 2010, or they didn't win. I guess.
Did you? Yeah, they didn't win it. But
we weren't getting rings anyway.
It sounds like the cup was basically taken over by the alumni association in St. Louis. We're going to go ahead and take this for a few days. We'll see you at the parade. Like, all right, go ahead. Jack Armstrong will join us. The Raptors are in New York taking on the Knicks tonight. Heavy favorites to no one's surprise. We'll tee that up, but also get his take on the journey of Pascal Siakam. Is this the best find Masai Ujiri has ever made? He's made a bunch of them up here. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Jack Armstrong will join us here in a few moments. Raptors, Knicks tonight. Pascal Siakam, an all-star starter for the Eastern Conference. First time in his career, likely first of many, the way he's going. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Panthers, February 3rd, every day this week. We have been providing you with the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Today, you will have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. This player was traded to the Maple Leafs for a package that included a Maple Leaf first-round pick. All right, so this guy, a player of substance, traded for a first-round pick. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. It's a big game. Toronto, Florida, early Feb. Three more against the Panthers. I mean, we're well aware of it. So Jack will join us here in a moment. Noodles coming up from St. Louis in about half an hour.
When are the games against the Panthers? Because my buddy posed a question to me last night. If Florida's complaining that they can't get people to the game, their March break or whenever the March breaks are, you get Montreal there, you get Toronto there, you get the Bruins there.
That's what they do. Montreal always plays one over Christmas, and it's one of their best crowds because I've done the game. But March break in the state, so the universities stagger them.
Yeah, so it's basically any time in the spring.
It's about 6 weeks, I mean, total between high schools and colleges in the states because they can't have them all at the same time.
Yeah, but Montreal, Toronto, that's not spring break. We're talking Canada stuff, right, where the Canadians are down there.
Oh, no, that's more March. Yeah, for sure. But the U.S. stagger their spring break over a longer period of time.
Yeah, they got two at home against Florida. And one in Florida that last week of February. We're sending people down there, right? The bookseats.com spring break giveaway. They're in Florida that week. They play Tampa on the Tuesday and the Panthers on the Thursday. So that week has the potential to be massive. And that you're not going to catch both of them. I'm not sure you're going to catch either of them right now. You're four back of Florida, and I think you're five back of Tampa. But you know, if you're going to do it, you've got to zone in on those games. Like, you got to win. You probably got to go 3-0 against Florida now. If you want to catch them, you got to go 3-0.
This is going to be a crazy last stretch.
I love it. It's different. I would prefer that they were in.
You know, it's almost like preseason until leading up to the last 35, where it's like, okay, let's see what you got now.
And 33 is a lot of games. I mean, that's more than a third of the season left.
This is going to be a battle. It is going to be a battle. And the Metros are a real concern.
Don't you think we had this conversation? They could cannibalize each other, though?
Oh, they could, but it's those three-point games that crush you.
Yeah, that is concerning.
I mean, then you look at both teams that you're battling with are getting points.
Yeah, that's a killer down the stretch. You know, Carolina ties Philly late in the game. They both get a point, goes
to
overtime.
They always do that when you don't want them to. They'll always do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Count on it.
But then that's on Toronto that when you're going to lose a game, you got to lose an overtime or a shootout. Like, you've got to battle and find a way to get there, you know, because you're gonna lose a bunch of games in reality. But
this year, the tiebreaker is split as well for the first time. So it used to be row, regulation, and overtime wins. Now the first determiner is regulation wins, then regulation and overtime wins. So you do get more status associated with a regulation win.
Right.
It's not grouped together with the overtime win.
Quick update on your boy Tiger Woods.
Good player.
Is that yours? Or who's this? Someone's got something playing in here. I think it might be courtesy of the headphones or whatever. It's not your stuff. It's definitely the headphones. Just unplug those headphones over there. Okay. Whatever. It's fine. Tiger Woods at Torrey Pines started with a double bogey on one.
Dude, like,
I know. I don't think it's you.
Back like, here somewhere.
It's someone's playing something.
You're scaring the hell out of me. I hear Tiger Woods, the Golf Channel.
Yeah, no, I know. Someone's playing something back there. It's either Al's brother or Mullen or the Grappler. Like someone's got something cooking in terms of editing, and it's coming into the studio.
I'm getting the feed here too.
It's good. We're fine. We'll be okay. So Tiger started with a double bogey on one, four putt. On the first hole. Did you see that? He had a two-footer tap
in. That hole has been just a nemesis for him.
Right, back in 08 in the U.S. Open.
Every hole he bogeyed, or every round he bogeyed it or double bogeyed it.
Right. I forgot about that, and Jeff McDonald pointed that out. It's really actually crazy. I have no idea what it is, but tell Al's brother to stop cutting stuff and people in the back room, whatever. Someone's doing something with some sort of audio, and it's playing loudly in the studio. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Stopped? We're good.
Nope, didn't stop.
There it is. All right, Grappler, come get some TV time or come figure this out. Here comes the Grappler. So what I'm trying to get to is that Tiger started two over, and when he's on the second tee, he's probably thinking, I might be trunk slamming when all is said and done. Well, now he's actually two under on the day. He's completely redeemed himself. He just birdied another hole, and he's five under for the tournament. And he's on the 11th hole, and the leader is currently at 8 under. So Tiger still is in contention to be atop the leaderboard after the second round tonight.
How many guys have you seen that well, let's just play the audio. I mean, it's basically in here anyway.
No, I understand. But can you pick it up on radio?
Yeah, you guys can hear it in the background a little bit. I can hear it in my headphones. Yeah, it's not coming from back here.
Okay, that's fine. I don't know who it's coming from, but
you were making me panic. I was looking at these, and I'm like,
"Well,
not
I thought
even...
it was your laptop or
no.
your phone or something."
Is somebody laptop's living not back even here? On. I think somebody's living back here.
That's a fake laptop.
Well, it's not on.
So
it covers
you...
the barrel. What, you think I'm stupid?
I've seen it shield food before, but I wasn't
it's
thinking about that.
The barrel protector.
The barrel protector. In case something, in case there's some shrapnel in here.
Well, buttons out. You know when the button comes out and then the barrel comes through the button?
That happened to a guy at the McGregor fight. Did you see that picture go viral?
No.
So there was they were panning the crowd and they went by Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield. And there was a guy behind them. See if Normie can find it on TSN4. This guy's button was hanging over a cliff. Like holding on for dear life. Because and you could see both sides of it. Like his stomach had popped out of both sides of the button. I get that a lot with this angle because of the way my shirt is set up. If I've got the boiler going after like a big feed bag like we had prior to this show, it can affect me at times.
I'm a little conscious right now. I don't have a computer in front of me.
There it is. Oh, it was Chong. Look at that, guys. Look at him on the right. Look at that.
That's why the computer is up right now.
Yikes.
Wow. Yeah. And that you can see the belly button and yeah. then
no that, way that shirt made it through the fight.
No, no way. He wanted to look like A-list first class in Vegas, and it turned out that his stomach had a completely different plan. So good call on that.
Yeah.
All right, we got Jack Armstrong on the line.
And four other people talking
yeah.
golf.
Yeah, we're having some technical issues in here. You're down in New York, right, Jack?
Yes, I am.
All right, good man. Well, thank you for doing this. Pascal Siakam, when you consider the journey that he has been on, 10 years ago he was barely playing the sport, goes to New Mexico State to play college, drafted late first round, starts with the 905. Is this the most unique and maybe gratifying journey you've witnessed in all your years covering the Raptors?
Yes. It's a remarkable story. You know, and having been a college coach prior to my 22 years with the Raptors, looking at a guy coming out of New Mexico State, that, as we all know, that's not exactly a basketball factory. You know, and where he came from and the exposure to coaching and the exposure to the game at a high level. It's just a remarkable journey. Having been around him, I can see why it's happened, though. He's a wonderful young man with a can-do spirit. He's got tremendous hand-eye coordination and speed and quickness. And it's interesting. I think back to a guy like Hakeem Olajuwon who came from Lagos, Nigeria, I think it was. And he came to the United States and was a soccer guy, right? And barely played basketball. But the thing I look at with a kid like Siakam is the fact that when he got here, the AAU system of North America didn't ruin him. He's actually been taught the right way to play. And to me, so he has a foundation of how to play properly. And then he's got great physical gifts. He's a really bright kid. He's coachable. He's hardworking. He's got a great motor. And didn't get spoiled. You know, I mean, again, maybe if you're at UCLA or Duke or one of those things, there's a higher degree of a sense of entitlement. And I don't think he has that. There's a pure love of the game and hunger that, unfortunately, in our North American developmental system, a lot of these guys walk around with their hand out and aren't as – there's not as much gratitude and blue-collar can-do. I got to work at it, and I got to be coached, and I want to be pushed. And I think Pascal Siakam is a guy that's been willing to – whatever the Raptor organization threw at him or whatever the folks at New Mexico State, he was a guy that was just grateful to be part of it and, again, didn't have that sense of entitlement.
Jack, with all that said, it's still amazing that he'd be named a starter with how long reputations carry and how the status of a reputation. Is it as simple as to say, well, now he's a champion and he's viewed as differently?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point you bring up, and it's there's a number of tiers. Probably, I think the number one would be the champion, and the fact that he played so well in the big moments in the playoffs. I mean, he had some tough times too, but overwhelmingly, he burst on the world stage during the playoffs, and people said, "Wait a minute, who is this kid? Like, what's his deal?" I'll never forget last year we were in Salt Lake City. And Matt Devlin and I, we ran into Rick Pitino, legendary coach, who was at our game in Salt Lake City. And he goes, "Who in the hell is this Siakam kid?" He goes, "I love this guy. Like, I don't even know who he is." You know, and obviously Rick had been at University of Louisville and Kentucky prior to that. I mean, and knew the landscape. But his whole point was, like, this, you know, you guys got yourself a guy that could be an all-star. And, you know, this is... during the early part of the year last year, we're going, hey, maybe the guy will end up could maybe push to be a most improved player. And now here we are a year later, and the guy's an all-star. So he's made those steps. I think he burst on the scene. I think a lot of people slept on the Raptors. Just, yeah, no Kawhi, no Danny Green. And and this kid burst on the scene this year. And you look at where the Raptors are right now. They're one of the great stories of the NBA. And I would say talking to fans, I think fans are having as good, if not maybe a better time this year watching this group, because some of it's unexpected, but the expectation has been exceeded because a guy like Siakam has been one of those guys that's just an incredible, great story.
Jack, what did you make of the comments from Masai saying we're going to die trying? Do you think he was referring to the players as far as their effort, or do you think as far as their movements at the trade deadline? What did you make of the comments?
Oh, I think he meant it on both fronts. There's no question he meant it on both fronts. I think he has a great belief in this group, and he loves their spirit. And, I think that statement speaks for itself. I think you'd always want that echoed about your team, that these guys are going to do everything, lay it all on the line. And I think Nurse coaches that way, too. If something's not working, he throws that out and does something else, but he's not going down without a fight. And I think Masai and Bobby Webster in the next 13 days are going to turn over every rock and do everything they can to see if there's a possibility of tweaking this and helping it that much more have a chance to get through three rounds in the playoffs to get to the finals. And so I think that they feel that this is a really good group, and this group deserves a chance to go for it. And I think if the opportunity is there to do something, they will. On the other hand, they're not going to blow up the long-term plan for the sake of that as well. I mean, I think there's a good balancing act that they have, but I think they're open for business. I think they'd be aggressive, and they will be aggressive. And at the same time, it takes two to tango. So as much as they want to be in the hunt and get a player that maybe can help them a little bit more, it takes the other side to actually want to do it.
Jack, quickly, before we get you out of here, there's some reports coming out of L.A. that the Clippers players not named Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are having some difficulties with the preferential treatment those two players are getting.
Well, wouldn't you if it was to that degree?
Well, I'm not surprised that it is. I mean, they handed over the keys to the franchise to both guys. Of course they're going to get that type of treatment. I recall there being some smoke on that early in the year last year. That, you know, with Kawhi and load management and him stepping in and immediately being the man, they clearly hashed it out. It worked for the Raptors in the end. But do you recall anything like that? Some of the Raptors having some issue with Kawhi getting treated a bit differently?
You know, I don't think there was as much as being made out with the Clippers right now, because the reality was the Raptors kept coming up short. So, you know, you say to yourself, you know what? If doing this is going to help get you over the hump, you do it. You know, this is a ruthless business, and we're not all equal, right? And there's a reason why there are certain tiers of salary structure, not only in sports, but in corporate life. If you're a producer, you make more, and we're going to, you know, as a former coach, there's no doubt I'm treating my top three guys differently than the remaining 12. Now, the rules are all equal for all 15 guys, but nonetheless, you know, if there's an issue or if there's a need one of my top three guys have, I'm going to be a little bit more sensitive to what they're saying or what they want, because they're the difference makers. I can replace the other 12 guys, but I can't replace the top three, top two. And in our business of basketball, just like a quarterback in football or a great goalie in hockey or a stud pitcher that gives you 200-plus innings or your whatever, those guys, you know, you kind of tune in a little bit more to what they want. So, yeah, have the Clippers done a little bit of a deal with the devil? Sure, but the end justifies the means. And every one of those guys that might be complaining, They're not going to move the needle and get you to the finals and get you a championship. The two guys in George and Leonard can do that for you. So, of course, that goes on, and of course that's smart. And nonetheless, having been around Kawhi and knowing Paul George over the years, these are guys that are committed to winning. They're good teammates. And when push comes to shove, if they're healthy, come playoff time, they'll be the top two guys on their team, and they're going to carry a big load, and the Clippers are going to be right there at the end. So I think it's the cost of doing business, not only in the NBA, but we're in the entertainment business. I mean, there's such a thing as, you know, when you have a movie with Denzel Washington or Matt Damon or whatever, yeah, you're going to pay those guys $20 million and a lot of other people being paid scale. Well, guess what? That's life. Those are the ones that get it done, and they're the ones that draw people to the box office. That's how it's done.
All right, Jack, enjoy it down there tonight. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, guys, have a great weekend.
Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst.
Do you want to go back and explain what the hell just happened? Because you were looking at me like it had to be me, and I want you to tell everyone what the hell just happened.
Yeah, so we had some audio that all of a sudden started playing in the studio. Yeah. So we have no idea where that came from. I thought maybe it was your headphones or your...
Right. And I told you it wasn't.
It sounded
I was looking at headphones that weren't plugged in.
Right. And that was
because I was panicking that you were going to get mad and the show was ruined.
No,
was
because what can happen is it has happened before. If someone's like cutting something or editing something, for whatever reason, it comes through into the studio. I have no idea why that would be the case. Aaron Korolnik was in here before, and obviously he ruined the studio. So it was Korolnik.
Well, he was hosting.
Yeah, and he did a great job. He did a great job hosting. But
how did the Golf Channel get in here?
I guess it was courtesy of my computer. It turns out it was my computer.
You're a moron!
Yeah, but Korolnik is the one that will have to take the blame.
Well, what the hell is he doing? Watching TV on his screen?
I don't know.
Show's going on?
I don't know, because like I was telling the grappler, I have ESPN up on my computer every single day, and there's no audio that comes out of it. I was looking at the leaderboard for the golf tournament, and then I guess they started playing highlights, and for whatever reason, it started playing in here. I guess I'll take that one half on the chin.
You're a moron.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
I'm a team player. I'll take half the blame.
I just love the way
I'll take half
at me.
The
you're
blame.
Like, what is that? Like, what are you doing?
Well, it wasn't about you. It was that. That's
no,
where
but you,
sounded it, like it was
you
coming
have to
from.
Admit, in your head.
I thought it was you. Yeah. Absolutely, I did. Yeah, 100%. You were guilty until proven innocent.
I was pretty much off the hook.
Yeah, I didn't think it was you, Pooley. Yeah. But, Pooley, you can attest to this. It sounded like it was coming from back there.
I thought
there.
It was behind me. That's
I thought right. It was over there by the red light. I thought it was behind us up on the roof. I thought it was everywhere.
I guess it was coming out of this computer for whatever reason. But it kept getting louder and louder.
Oh, yeah. It's like Tiger. I'm like, this is kind of cool. I want to watch it. And then Jack's on the line, and it's playing. It was just...
Yeah, the first 40 minutes have been a bit of a write-off. But we can get it back on the rails here.
Oh, it's kind of like Wayne's World, but we can get it back to overdrive.
Right. I'll take half the blame because I'm a leader, because I wear the C. So I'll throw one other guy under the bus with me.
You're a D right now. You got to get the C back.
I got to get
Poulin
moving.
Was the captain of the Flyers and the Bruins. He knows what being a C is all about, all and right. You're not one right now.
Back into the Raptors game tonight. We'll touch on Siakam and what's going on with the Clippers a little bit later in the afternoon. We're going to catch up with Noodles live from St. Louis, get you an update on what's going on down there. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, so Franklin works here. He's a TSN employee. And he's a big fan of the show, and he's a big shooter around here. He just sent in a tweet saying, it's fitting that Overdrive waited until today to unveil their worst of list. Please add the first 40 minutes. Because...
That's a mind your own business, pal. Next time I don't like the camera angle, we'll shoot you a message. Power play from behind the net, you jerk.
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, we are going to, I believe, unveil the worst of today.
So, we could also replay the first 40 minutes.
It's been bad. It's been really ugly. Pooley, you've been great.
Why? Yeah. Technically, it's been bad?
Well, technically, we had issues. We had the audio. You guys have been fine. I don't know.
I started
with the Michael Hutchinson stuff, which was a weird start.
That was a bad start. That's on you. We're going to give you this NFL week. Monday, you better be the first star.
Well, I'll be ready on Monday, I guarantee it.
You got a Leaf game Monday night. You got the Super Bowl coming up. You'll
That's
be all
right.
jacked up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That's when you shine.
All right, do you want to bring in the guy we have on the line?
Because, we have a former St. Louis goaltender.
That's right, an alumni.
I don't know if he ever played an All-Star game, but he's at the All-Star game. Jamie Noodles McLennan. What is going on in St. Louis?
I was an off-ice All-Star, just never on the ice. That's the only problem. So, what's that?
Are you living your reliving the glory days down there off the ice? What's the party scene like down in St. Louis?
Pretty quiet right now. I mean, I think it's, I think it'll pick up maybe a little bit later. But yesterday there was just so many moving parts, and it's nice to see a bunch of people and former players and executives in the league. It's kind of the who's who. So you kind of just roll around the media day. Shake some hands, kiss some babies, and do some sports center hits. So it's been good so far, and I was excited. I'm a little bit sad on two fronts. Best Portuguese chicken, I'm surprised you guys are even non-comatose right now. I guarantee you that salad I saw on the bottom of the picture hasn't been touched by anybody.
Noodles, you would think it had the coronavirus. Like, no one is touching that salad.
Yeah, Al's brother has his car seats on, heated full tilt, and the chicken and the potatoes are in the front seat. Warming like an oven.
Yeah, it's been good.
I knew that. And then the second is the best, or the worst of. You guys are running that. So
right.
That's, it is what it is. But, it's been good so far in St. Louis, and McDavid and Draisaitl conveniently missed media day yesterday. Allegedly, their flight was delayed or couldn't get in, but they're speaking in about half an hour, so I'm going to go over to the rink and hear what they have to say.
Noodles, we were talking earlier kind of the legitimacy of the, not legitimacy, but the power of the alumni in St. Louis. I mean, most alumni, they're kind of, you know, they have a following, they got a bunch of guys, but in St. Louis, I don't know if it's Chaser that's behind it or Brett Hall, whoever it is, but a lot of times they wouldn't be allowed to participate in the All-Star game or not even really be thought of. Is that Chaser behind that?
I think so. I think Chaser maybe just bullied his way in and started his own alumni game. I don't know. I actually haven't seen him because the media availability was at a theater joined to the rink, and their alumni game was at a separate arena, so I didn't get a chance to cross paths with too many alumni people. Yeah, last night it was more kind of the NHL guys. But, yeah, I would put a lot of money, put it that way, that Kelly Chase would be behind some of the events that are going on. And you're right, the St. Louis Blues alumni does wield a lot of power in the city of St. Louis, but I think it's led by Kelly Chase.
That makes sense. Noodles down in St. Louis ahead of the All-Star game this weekend, and Matthews obviously not playing and not partaking in anything outside of the media obligations. Probably some sponsorship stuff down there as well, but it sounds like he's going to play on Monday night. But I guess he didn't give a guarantee. He did throw
that little curve in there, though, Jamie. He said, "I'm hoping to play Monday night in Nashville."
Oh, he's playing. Like,
right.
He even had the brace on today.
I love that.
I know.
Yeah, the best.
It was the bowling brace. You know, listen, he's fine. I believe now. Listen, I would never question the doctors of the Leafs. We all know them. They're fantastic. Yeah. And but if he does have a nagging injury, this is the perfect scenario. And I don't mind this because if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're happy. The guy's not going to be suspended because he came and he embraced the weekend. And there's going to be no physical duress on his body whatsoever, unless he does it to himself by going out at night. But ultimately, Ovi and other guys who have skipped the All-Star game, if you even show up and do the fan fest and that type of stuff, just to kind of roll through and sell the game, which everyone wants, the league wants, then, you know, I don't see a problem with it. I mean, yeah, we would like to see Austin Matthews rip the puck around and score some goals 3-on-3. Absolutely. But, you know, he's not going to get suspended by that. And I would argue that this extra little rest and maybe a little bit of rehab here on the weekend, he's going to be ready to rock on Monday.
Yeah, he better be. I mean, they certainly need him. And we started with the discussion off the top that you and Pooley had on That's Hockey a few days ago about whether or not Freddie Anderson, you know, is it a good thing that he's at the All-Star game, boost his ego, boost his profile, and just mentioning that there was a conversation prior to us coming on the air suggesting that Hutchinson might play Monday night, which can't happen. I hope it doesn't happen. But if there's, like, sports science involved, and if they had a buffer in terms of the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Freddie the night off on Monday night. But they can't, can they? Like, he's got to play, doesn't he?
I would think so, but it may be the same mindset as coming out of the Christmas break, where you start the backup after everyone's got, some margaritas and tequilas flowing through their system still from wherever they've gone. So that's kind of, I mean, you're right. If they had a massive buffer, then I don't think we think twice about it. You're like, okay, let the backup start out of a break because you know the game will be rusty. But, you know, that being said, you need Freddie. These points are crucial. Nashville's a desperate team. So, you know, I would argue still that I think this All-Star whole weekend is great for Freddie because he's it's good for the ego. It's good. I mean, yeah, you're going to give up 8 goals and you're going to get burnt on backdoor plays and stuff. But it's good to be around the best in the world and be considered one of them. I think a lot of guys can pull out of that and use it. So I would be worried a little bit because you know, as much as you could see the logic behind it, they just don't have the buffer. I think you need all your best on Monday.
Well, we'll see what kind of shape you're in on Monday. I cannot wait to see your SportsCenter hits all weekend. It's my favorite part of the All-Star weekend.
I was surprised. My SportsCenter hit was the first one for online today was taped at 9:30 a.m. And believe me, I looked like I went back and checked to see if my skin was green or not. It looked good. I was fine.
I saw it, and it was outstanding. It looked spectacular.
You wait until the voice goes. That's when you're going to know.
Oh, yeah.
Never know.
That's when the old Joel Quenneville at the Kentucky Derby comes out, and I can't wait for it. All right, buddy. Enjoy it down there.
Have fun.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
There he is. Jamie Noodles McLennan. Big J journalism down at the All-Star game.
He didn't play in the alumni game last night. Mike McKenna was one of the goalies.
Yeah. My understanding is he may have been offered up an invitation, but I don't know if he got in there on time. I don't know.
He just said no way.
He doesn't put the pads on at all.
I don't blame him. No. I mean, it's tough playing, period. Imagine playing goalie when you haven't played in a long time.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening. And you got to bring your gear there. You're flying now. You're checking bags and stuff. I mean, complicates everything. All right, we're tracking Tiger Woods down at Torrey Pines. We'll catch up with Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN as well in the Raptor game tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.